All right, go ahead, Kirk.
Hello, and welcome to the Beacon Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kirk, and I'm an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start the meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting. Sorry, Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. We ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on a step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. Kim has asked Richard to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You just got to unmute Richard. There you go.
Thanks, Kirk. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Richard. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Today, we'll hear a talk on Step 12. Please give a warm welcome to Chris L. from Long Island, New York.
Thank you. My name is Chris. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Thank you so much for having me. My sober date is September 26, 2014. I'm a member of the All Lit Up Again group in Baldwin, New York, in Long Island. I currently have a sponsor who's out of Long Beach, New York, and I have the pleasure of sponsoring a number of wonderful members of Alcoholics Anonymous and practicing the spirit of love and service, the principles of our 12 step. Just to briefly qualify, I am an alcoholic, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And seemingly hopeless is just what I'm going to communicate in 1 minute approximately. Every year I get a chance to celebrate an anniversary that was gifted to me as a result of good sponsorship, as a result of the three legacies, service, union, recovery, as a result of wonderful people that remind me that I am no longer my own primary purpose. And every anniversary that I get, I was taught that my program requires giving, not receiving, right? And Bill's story talks about, you know, if I don't perfect and enlarge my spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, I will not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. And I've been practicing the discipline of using my anniversary as an opportunity to give thanks to those who helped me so much in early recovery, who helped plant the seed of recovery and sobriety. And that includes my parents. That includes my best friend since third grade. My current sponsor, my first sponsor, George, out of Queens Village, and a number of amazing people. And I got a chance to call my best friend and Kevin, and we were talking. And I thanked him for the role that he played in my sobriety, for helping me get to a rehab, for bringing me to my very first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, even though at that point I wasn't sure if I was an alcoholic or not. And he reminded me of a story in which he brought me to the church. The book talks about having hazy recollections. And I had a hazy recollection of him driving me to a church in the middle of the night. And I said to him, "What, you know, out of curiosity, you know, what happened?" He said, "I asked a priest to take your penance." And I said, I'm like, you know, I was kind of taken back because I don't remember this. And I'm like, "What? That's a strange request." And I said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "Chris, for so many years, I was trying to help you live better. At that point, I was just trying to help you die more peacefully. That's what the disease of alcoholism was doing to me. It was absolutely killing me. Recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I'm the alcoholic that stood next to my son's crib and asked God to give my son a new father. I'm the alcoholic that when my son was being born, I was late in getting the car because I knew I had to get another drink in me because I knew there was going to be required periods of abstinence and it scared me. And when the doctor said, do you want to hold your child? I reluctantly said yes because I was shaking so hard I was afraid I was going to drop him. That's the type of alcoholic that I am. I'm an alcoholic. There's a physical allergy, a phenomenon of craving. I have no power, choice, or control. And when I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was able to qualify to understand the disease of alcoholism. Do I have the symptoms? And if I am one of you, am I willing to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol? So I just wanted to say that just so I can qualify for the newcomer that they understand, you know, that we are alike. You know, I didn't think I was like other people when I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't think you thought like me, felt like me, or drank like me until I started to understand, to see the fellowship that was around me, to read the big book and understand that this is something that people have been experiencing. It's a disease. It's not a choice. I have no power, choice, or control. I'm not a bad person. I was a person that was very sick and I needed this whole program to get me sober. I needed a power greater than myself to get me sober. So I just wanted to qualify to show that I am an alcoholic who has recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body with the understanding that I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, that I'm very capable of picking up a drink if I don't practice these spiritual principles, if I don't surrender to our three, you know, legacies, if I don't you know, get out of myself, to stop being the director running the show, to continue to surrender to who I like to call God, who has kept me sober, you know, because that was my problem, lack of power. And for me, the 12 step, I'm going to share my experience with the 12 step. My 12 step requires, it gives me, you know, a requirement. It says, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, you know, so for me, before I do 12 step work, I've had to have had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I met a wonderful man. And I'll tell you, I'll speak about the 12 step through different perspectives. Being new, and again, this is all experiential. I had just gotten out of rehab, and I remember people saying, like, find a sponsor who has what you want. And I remember going to a meeting, and I see this gentleman, and he's looking very well dressed, and he was talking very astute. And I remember thinking, like, maybe that's a guy that has what I want. Maybe he's super successful. Maybe he has a big house and an attractive wife, you know, because this is what I wanted in early sobriety, you know. And so he came up and talked to me, and he started talking about my favorite topic, which was me. And unbeknownst to me, this gentleman was going to be asked to share the meeting. So he shares his experience, strength, and hope. And as I'm listening to him share, I'm realizing he has absolutely nothing that I want. He's struggling in this marriage. He's trying to find a job. He was in back payments, risking foreclosure on his house. But yet he had something that I needed, because I spoke to him after the meeting. And there was something that I was very aware of as I'm listening to this gentleman share his experience, strength, and hope, that in spite of the difficulties that he was going through, this guy had something that I've always wanted and always needed. He had serenity. He had peace. He had faith. He was demonstrating the spiritual principles. The book says, you know, God will demonstrate through us what he will do. It talks about in the family afterward about, you know, capitalizing on difficult times as an opportunity to show God's omnipotence. You know, he was a living example of this program. And it became abundantly aware to me at this point that yes, he didn't have what I thought I wanted, but he had what I needed. He was demonstrating a program. He had recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and he was selfless. He wasn't focusing. He wasn't talking to me about his problems. He was asking me about myself. He saw that I was new and right out of rehab. And, you know, and I share this because it was so important for me to realize, and again, this is over the years, you know, if God willing, this September 26th, I'll be celebrating 9 years. I've learned a lot about each of these steps. As I know, we have a progressive disease. It gets worse, never better. I also think we have a progressive solution that I get to, as the book talks about in the 10 step, grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not necessarily not a maintenance program. It's a growth. It says earlier in the book, I believe it was the preface, one of the forwards, that my hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience. I need to continue to grow. And over the years, you know, I realized the importance of sponsorship, not just from the newcomer's perspective, but from the sponsor's perspective. See, I started sponsoring at about 6 months sober. And my sponsor being abundantly clear, we went through the steps, and he says, well, Chris, it's time that you're going to start sponsoring. And I said, George, I'm not ready to sponsor. And he said, Chris, take your Superman cape off and just do what God wants you to do. That's help some people. He said, you know, and I heard somebody share, you know, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. You know, that my job is to suit up, to show up, to help someone, to carry this message to someone. You know, and I was so afraid to sponsor. I was so afraid to get someone drunk that I'm not going to know exactly what to do. But my sponsor continued to encourage me. And progressively over the first few years of my sobriety, I tried to carry the message. The book says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of this step, I try to carry this message to alcoholics. And the one of the big lessons I learned in early sobriety is the true importance. And I'll preface this by saying, my first sponsor, I can't say his name without crying. He saved my life. This man means the world to me. Like, next to my father, next to my brother, this man saved my life. I was so scared. I met him in the basement of a church. And I remember just feeling like an aura about him. And I remember going up to him and I said, I'm like, I don't know what this means, but I was told that I need to get a sponsor. Can you help me? And he closed his eyes, and unbeknownst to me, he prayed. And he opened his eyes and said, I'm happy to help you. And he guided me through the steps. as he was taught. And we went through, you know, these sheets of paper, which had the big book in. And he taught me about the disease of alcoholism, and he guided me through the rest of the steps. And I learned a lot. But I want to preface it by saying this. He was absolutely amazing. But one of the things that I had not done in my first few years is really dive through the big book. I went through these sheets, and in the sheets was stuff within the big book, but it wasn't necessarily the big book. And for my first few years of sponsoring, it was very difficult because at that point, I really didn't understand the big book. I was never really guided through the big book. I didn't know what steps were where, what directions were there. I was trying to transmit something that I didn't really have. And it was a big struggle, you know, and it taught me the importance of using our basic text, which has the directions in it. You know, at about my first 3 years sober, first year I was one, I felt so good. Years two and three, I was experiencing, unbeknownst to me, untreated alcoholism, stark raving sober, and I'm sponsoring people the way I knew how to, which was very difficult because I went through the work with these sheets, but I didn't have the sheets to do for somebody else. And I joined thank God for sponsorship. I met a guy who asked me to sponsor him, and I'm like, let's find you a home group. And we saw a group called the 164 group. And they're talking about the first 164 pages, and you go into this classroom and you walk into the, you know, they have the plastic tables and chairs all over around the perimeter. And they had stacks of big books and big books and big books. And you have a step meeting, a big book meeting, a design for living, and everything was all about the big book. And he joins the home group, and I joined it too. And him and I took a service commitment, and I started realizing there was a lot of discrepancies between the program that I was practicing and what they were reading in this book. And at about 3 years sober, I recommitted to this program. I recommitted. I got a new sponsor. I got another sponsor who guided me through the work out of the big book. I started studying the big book and listening to YouTube links and listening to step studies and big book studies. And I started to realize the directions were right here. They were in the Roman numerals in the first 164 pages. And unbeknownst to me, what was happening is that spiritual malady that the big book talks about, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we strain out mentally and physically. I started to experience the promises again. I started to experience this rejuvenation that started to happen within me. The promises were manifesting out of me as a result of practicing this program and being able to understand the big book, and more importantly, guide somebody else through the big book. People started getting sober that I'm sponsoring. We're going through the work and they're getting sober and they're sponsoring other people. For me, you know, when it comes to being able to carry the message, one thing that I hold very true to myself is as a sponsor, one of my responsibilities is to help them understand the message. At first, they're going to experience, I tell a newcomer that I'm working with, I'll tell them, listen, you're not going to get your PhD in the big book. Not year one, maybe year two and three, you'll get your PhD. But right now, I want you to have an experience like I had. And then when we get through the work, I'm going to show you how to sponsor some other people. Sponsorship for me was not optional. It was made abundantly clear in early sobriety that you don't get spiritual and then you sponsor. And through that demonstrate true spirituality, true selflessness, true love, true faith, you know, men of faith, of courage, they trust their God. There's no greater way to trust God, you know, than to sponsor. You know, I always say, like with my children, I have my son is 10 years old, he'll be 11 in April. My daughter is two, upcoming, she'll be three. I got sober when my son was 1.5. And when my kids get scared, they run to their father. When I started sponsoring, I started feeling the need to run to prayer, meditation a lot more because it is scary. Am I going to do what's right? Am I going to, you know, it was very scary. But over a period of time, what started to happen was I started to grow a real sense of faith, faith in the program, faith in God, faith that God's going to use me. And I'll tell you, over the years, they've changed me. I've hit, in my sobriety, I've hit a few emotional, spiritual lows. You know, we talk about the third step, God, you know, about offering ourselves to God and turning our will, make a decision to turn our will and life over the care of God and surrendering our defects of God, character. God, take all of me, good and bad. But in my sobriety, I've experienced some real spiritual lows. And I found that these areas of my life in which I struggled were growth periods, but they were painful growth periods. And the one thing that I've always, and I've done a lot, and I'll preface it by saying, I've done a lot wrong in this program. It took me, there was a few amends that I did not make immediately. There was a few defects of character when I did step 6 and 7. I say, God, take all of me, good and bad, except for the affair that I'm having with baby mama number two, and except for this and that. I'm certainly not going to tell anyone because I want to talk a good talk, but to tell them absolutely everything is a little ridiculous. And there was amends that weren't made. There was areas of my life that I wasn't turning over to God, and I've struggled in my sobriety. I've done a lot wrong. I've made a lot of mistakes in sobriety. But the one thing I've always done was sponsor, and it was made abundantly clear. And when we read the big book, we get to see, why is this so important? Nothing more will ensure immunity over alcohol than intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. It talks about that, working intensely with other alcoholics is paramount to permanent recovery, permanent sobriety. This step, carrying the message, sponsoring another human being, it's for me, it's not optional. I don't know if you've ever watched Batman, but there's a movie Batman with Bane, and they have this big bomb that's ready to blow up, and it's in a vehicle. And the thing is, with the fun, like how it relates to what I'm talking about, is that this vehicle holding a bomb is going to blow up. Now, we're not sure when, but we just know it's going to blow up, and Batman's trying to find it and stop it. That's what alcoholism is for me. When I get sober and when I get abstinent, eventually I'm going to drink. The question is not if I'm going to drink, is how long is it going to take until I'm going to drink? That's why I was taught that this carrying the message is so important, and carrying the message thoroughly and promptly is so important. I was told that I don't have years to go through the steps to because it says like at certain times I'm without defense against that first drink. I don't know when I'm going to drink. When I do step one, I need to be very well aware that I'm not sure if and I know I'm not sure when I'm going to drink. So as a sponsor, one of my responsibilities is to carry the message to this person, to help this person have an experience, and to have an experience that's thorough, but that's also prompt. That they need, the most important thing that they need to do is help some other alcoholics. And the most important thing they need to do is to get out of them themselves. We find out in the big book, selfish, self-centered, that is the root of our troubles. We're driven by 100 forms of fear, self-seeking, self-pity, self-delusion. I have a program that feeds that, that's founded by selfish and self-centeredness. I don't have the option as to whether or not to sacrifice myself in giving and service. And nor do I think, like people that I work with, we have the opportunity. The clock is ticking. So when I work with someone and I'm sponsoring them, my hope is that they have an experience. And my real hope is that they get this experience thoroughly, promptly, and then they get the opportunity to carry this to somebody else. Sponsorship for me has been crucial. It's kept me out of me. It's the one thing that reminds me, and I look at it as symbiotic, that there's two people helping each other. The termite, for example, has a protozoa in its stomach that enables this termite to eat wood. Without the protozoa, the termite dies. Without the termite, the protozoa dies. They both need each other. That's what sponsorship is for me. It's a relationship that's side by side in which we both need each other. In the chapter working with others, it tells us, tell that the new prospect, they're helping you even possibly even more than you're helping them. I need someone to work with. And if you're new here and you're listening and you're afraid to ask someone to sponsor you because you don't want to inconvenience them, we need you. There is, tradition one says that there is no more, most important person in the room. We need you. You need us. We need each other. That's the unity that tradition one provides us. Sponsorship is absolutely amazing. I'll tell you from experientially. Recently, I was given the opportunity to partake in one of my sponsee's weddings. I watched this man, and I knew him very new and in early in his sobriety. And he asked me to sponsor him, and he was struggling. He had about like 2 years sober, maybe a year and a half sober, struggling of untreated alcoholism. And we went through the work, and he was doing a lot of service. His first sponsor was throwing him into service. He had H&I, he had this and that, and he was chairing meetings and secretarying meetings. And but I said to him when I first met him, like, how many people are you sponsoring? He's like, I don't have anyone. And we went through the work and we got him specifically into sponsoring some other people. Man, this guy is on fire. He recently got married. He recently got a new job as an educator. To be able to see someone that's suffering and yet experience this program, and then to not only experience the program, but to go out and live the program. You know, here we have the locker room for God, and out there we get to show people, be living demonstrations of God's omnipotence. To see him getting married to his partner was the most beautiful thing. I had a speaking commitment early into COVID, and somebody texted me and said, I was at my son's soccer game. Somebody texted me and said, "Do you mind speaking at a meeting? It's 11 at night." And I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to. 11 at night, and that's not too bad." Day before the meeting, I verify that I'm going to be there. It's 11 o'clock at night. I said, out of curiosity, what time zone are you in? And she's like, "Oh, we're in California." Now I'm out of New York, so it's not 11 at night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So now I'm going, "Oh, for freak's sake, I'm going to be so tired and yada yada. What am I going to say at 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm going to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Who knows what nonsense is going to come out of my mouth at 3 o'clock in the morning?" And I talked to my sponsor, and I was reminded that I need the constant thought of others and how I may help meet their needs. That's a requirement for mine. And I took the commitment. And somebody messages me after my share. He said, "I'm 6 months sober and I tried committing suicide last week. Can you help me?" We went through the work. That guy's about 3.5 years sober. He's sponsoring a lot of people, early 30s, and he's on fire for AA. Sponsorship is a gift that God gave me. Not only do I practice self-sacrifice and sponsorship, but I get to see God's power. Because, you know, the truth is, in my sobriety, there have been ups and there have been downs. You know, currently, I am going through some difficult moments. There was a layoff that happened about a month ago, and struggling in my marriage. They remind me that the game is never over. They remind me that we're not at the last chapter. They remind me of the power of God. They remind me that there's hope during those difficult times. They also remind me that I'm not my own primary purpose. That my biggest problem is me, right? I find out my biggest problem is me, and the fact that they reach out to me, because as I said, it's very symbiotic and it's beautiful of moments, because I've had so many wonderful experiences. I had a guy call me and he's got a few years and he's experienced going to treat alcoholism, and some guy hit his car and I go, "How many people are you sponsoring?" He said, "None." You know, that guy went to speak at IKIPA for like, because he's known as like the 12-step guru, because now he just his first 3, 4 years, he sponsored one person. In the last 3 years, he's sponsored dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and he's happy. He's enjoying his life, the quality of life that's available as a result of practicing these spiritual principles, and most importantly, carrying this message to other people has been priceless. But then there are some other moments that are not so easy, so to speak. I get a call right before COVID happened, and it was from a wife of a person that I used to sponsor, and she called me to tell me that he had passed away. He had died of the disease of alcoholism. And I drove to his house. They didn't have any. There was no money for a wake. He spent all the money on alcohol and drugs, and there was no money for a wake. So they're having a little memorial at their house, with pictures on a poster board. And I pull up to the front door and I get out and I see his two children. And I just started to cry, because he was a good guy. He was a real good guy. And he was just struggling. There was two resentments that he was unwilling to surrender to. So look at it from a different angle. Is it true that this person was like you, sick too? And he held on to these things till the day he died as a result of this disease. And I see his two kids and I get out of the car, and I had a gift card with me for one of the local restaurants for them to get like food for a few days, and they ran up to me and they gave me a hug. The little girl goes, "I remember you. You were here to help Daddy a few years ago when he was still alive. Thank you." I don't have power, choice, or control over my drinking, nor do I have power, choice, or control over anybody else's drinking. What I do have is an opportunity to try to carry this message, to try to help somebody who's like me, sick too. Does it always work out? No. But I'll tell you something, That time and during COVID, I was sponsoring a guy. We're on his ninth step, and we went through quick. He was trying to get through the steps. You know, he tried a few times. He probably had about like 8, 9 months or something like that, and it wasn't working out with his sponsor. They weren't linking up. So we went through the work promptly and thoroughly, and we're at night. We're getting ready, preparing him to start doing the amends process, and we had an appointment on Sunday, and he didn't show up. And I got a call on Monday saying that he had left this world. And I spoke to his wife a few days later after crying for a while, and I spoke to his wife, and she thanked me. She said for the last few months that he's been doing step work, he's been so much better. And then for the first time, she got a chance to see her husband. This 12 step has given me an opportunity to live, to survive, to be the father that I've always wanted to be. This program, this 12 step work has enabled me to sustain sobriety. And to most importantly, carry this message to have a purpose in this world. I was purposeless in active alcoholism. In sobriety, I am definitely useful. I owe my life and everything that I have to Alcoholics Anonymous, to God. I thank you for allowing me to share a little bit about my experience about 12-step. Thank you.